Is the sound room ready for this video that we have tonight? All right, I hear the screen. I see the thumbs up. Praise the Lord. We have several of our DJs, our guest DJs, coming in for Restore-a-thon. I see Brother Hester, and it's good to see him in and got in already, got in safely. And then two of our men that have come from Rock of Ages are going to be on the radio with us. And they come to tonight. Brother Ricky Dunster is going to speak to us tonight, but also give us a good picture of what Rock of Ages ministry does. And one of the things that they do is they have a study Bible that they put out, and they give it to prisoners, and he can say more about it, but we have a really nice, they have a really nice leather-bound Bible that they have, and it's a good study Bible, and they donated some for one of our packages, and about 25 of those, and so we're blessed to have those for our in our, one of our packages. And I think it's our Patriots package, am I right, Miss? Bradley, yep. And so we're looking forward to being able to put that out and have that for you. But at this time, I'm going to ask Brother Ricky Dunsford. It's good to have Brother Jeff Castle, right? Yes. How do you say your last name, Brother? Castle. Amen.
Thank you, preacher. Well, praise the Lord. I could, at 35 years of missionary with Rock of Ages, I could talk about it for hours. So probably best if I step aside and let the video show you, and then I'll say something real quickly after that and then bring the message tonight. Okay, so if we could go ahead with that, that'll be fine.
In Hebrews 10:23, the Bible declares, "Hold fast to the profession of your faith without wavering. Faithful is he that promised." In the beginning of the Rock of Ages ministries, we had three guiding principles, and today, 40 years later, these principles continue to be our guide in every area and aspect of ministry.
A work of the Lord. He put this ministry in existence way back there in 1977.
I see the longevity, and I see the heritage that God has given us through his word with these men. And they don't just preach it in the pulpits, they practice it in their everyday lives.
It gives me the security of knowing that I belong to a ministry that's not going to change.
And it's continued on till now of trying to reach men, women, boys, and girls with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The stability, the consistency, the growth that has taken place, and the doors of opportunity that God has answered.
Rock of Ages has stayed the same throughout all 40 years.
With the myriad of prison ministries that there are in America, there's only one Rock of Ages that has stood the test of time.
First, we hold to sound doctrine. We believe it is vitally important that a ministry stay doctrinally pure in order for God to continue to add his blessings upon the ministry.
It is a ministry that's based on the Word of God.
The doctrine that we hold to is what the ministry started with.
Talking about sound doctrine, we're talking about God's Word. We're talking about teaching God's Word. We're talking about applying God's Word to our heart and life, and that makes a difference in a person's life.
Holding fast to sound doctrine is something that is very important to the Rock of Ages.
My joy is to see that doctrine held fast to, not just here in the States, but in all that we're doing overseas.
It's old-fashioned, but no, it's sound doctrine.
Fastly becoming our turn to teach this next generation how to hold fast to the things that are in the Word of God.
Doctrine's the basis for it all, the sound teaching of the Word of God.
We still believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven.
We're still preaching repentance.
And of course, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost.
Our missionaries carry, use, preach King James Bible, study the King James Bible.
And so sound doctrine to develop that man, to develop that woman, is a necessity.
The doctrine of eternal security, the doctrine of the King James Bible, the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture.
Things that have been proven time and time again.
We still believe in taking the gospel and presenting the gospel and preaching and teaching on repentance and salvation.
We believe that salvation is by grace through faith.
And so you've got to preach the purity, the truth, the blessed book, as it is, sound doctrine, helping men and women where they are to make them into the image of Christ.
Next, we believe in the importance and the authority of the local church. We thank God for the thousands of churches and volunteers across America and around the world who work with the Rock of Ages ministries and allow us to represent them on the mission field.
We are so grateful for the churches and the people that help us and support us.
We represent the local church in the prisons.
Whether it's the printing or distribution of gospel literature, whether it's revival teams, whether it's the prison prevention. By our church planting assistance program, we're able to couple the church with each area of our ministry so that the church is receiving the fruit.
This ministry would not exist without the local church.
To help pastors reach in and extend their local church ministries and get into areas, get into prisons, get into their local jails, get into their public schools, and reach others for the cause of Christ.
When we have souls saved in the public schools, we take those names to the area local pastors.
Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, the Bible says.
And we firmly believe in reaching inmates throughout the states and throughout this world by working with and through the local church.
And so, yeah, we are definitely 100% local church.
We need the local church. We are a part of the local church.
We come out of churches as missionaries, and those churches commission us to go into the prisons.
It's our sending agent. It's our sustaining agent. It's our supplying agent. That local church is something we cannot do without, and we cannot bypass.
Many times our local churches are going into Jerusalem and Judea, and we're going to those Samaritans and to the uttermost parts of the earth.
We believe absolutely that it's the church that God called to reach the world.
We understand that only God will bless the effort through the local church.
When we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, it'll be because of the local church. As we give up fruit, as we see the souls that were saved, it will be because of the local church. They empowered us. They gave us the ability. They gave us the funds. We represent the church as we win those men and women to God.
We thank the Lord for the local church, the pastor, and the people that make it possible for us to do what God's called us to do.
We also believe in soul winning and discipleship. Last year, we closed with just shy of 23,000 students studying the Bible with us here in the United States and around the globe.
The Lord's desire was to see sinners saved, and that desire still lies within me.
Our focus has been souls. Our focus is souls.
And our desire is to see people saved by the marvelous grace of God.
Well, we know it's the very heartbeat of God, soul winning.
Soul winning is the main focus, and they have won thousands to the Lord.
Without going after souls, what really is ministry?
That's a part of this ministry, of having a deep desire for the souls of men.
I get calls sometimes from grandmothers who their children and grandchildren are incarcerated, and they're in tears thanking the ministry for coming to their loved one, sharing the gospel.
Even where man said they couldn't, even in public schools of America, God is saving souls.
We will go out of our way to reach one person.
Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And honestly, if I'm going to be Christ-like, I need to be seeking the lost, amen.
Well, I think the greatest part of the Rock of Ages is our soul winning.
Without the privilege of telling people about Christ, there is no ministry.
An inmate will say, you know, I've been praying that God would send somebody by, hinged on one thing, and that's reaching the lost for Christ.
These principles are our guide today as we enter into the prisons, schools, military bases, and into unchurched regions of the world through our church planting assistance program.
Rock of Ages has roughly 30 segments of ministry wherein we're laboring.
With the Rock of Ages, we have the Prisoners Bible Institute, we have the Sojourners Institute, we have the College of Biblical Studies. All of those are geared to disciple people.
We get a lot of letters from people in prison and some out of prison who have trusted Christ as their personal Savior through our printed material.
We're laboring abroad in nations. We're helping to assist in church planning.
I have volunteers that go with me, and we reach our young people in our local public schools.
I'm especially excited about our church planting assistance program. It gives us the privilege to help actually plant other churches around the world.
We're excited about what God's done for us here at the Rock of Ages Ministries after 40 years of soul winning, discipleship, holding to sound doctrine, and working with local churches around the globe. There are several opportunities for you to be able to get involved with the Rock of Ages Ministries.
And would it be you that God could send to be a part of this work?
You might want to come to the home office and work in the print shop putting together material.
Why not come and go with us and work from cell to cell?
We had men actually got saved, men called to preach from the relationship of going into the prison.
As well as you can come overseas and go see what God's doing around the world.
I'd highly recommend anyone who does not know about this ministry to find out about the ministry, get involved in this ministry.
It's absolutely incredible what opportunities that you have sitting in the pew to become a partner with Rock of Ages.
If you feel your heart being moved, is most certainly pray and speak with your pastor.
The volunteers that come and help us in the prisons, in the schools, they always seem to go back to their local church and serve more wholeheartedly, with more fervor, with more zeal.
Many a church member completely changed.
We would ask that you prayerfully consider joining the Rock of Ages team and becoming a missionary and helping us in the prisons, schools, military bases, and unchurched regions of the world. Also, you may consider financially supporting the ministry and allow us to represent you and be your hands and feet on the mission field. And certainly we would ask that you join with us in prayer that God's grace would continue to be upon this ministry as we carry the gospel in the regions beyond.
You can give to the Rock of Ages, but I challenge you even more to go and allow, as Jeremiah said, mine eye affecteth mine heart.
We could not do what we do without the volunteers from the churches.
You can certainly pray for the Rock of Ages.
How many souls are sitting there waiting on someone to come by with the gospel, with encouragement from God?
And so we've got a great opportunity to take the gospel across the street, across the United States, and around the world.
If you've never been exposed to the Rock of Ages, you're missing out on an opportunity of ministry in so many different ways.
It's a place that you can come and serve, and the sky's the limit in what God is opening the doors for the Rock of Ages to accomplish.
It gives me great joy to have the opportunity to work with 130 plus missionaries serving in the United States and around the world. We're grateful for a wonderful staff that God has put together at the Rock of Ages Ministries, including our executive staff and our executive vice president, Dr. Ricky Dunsford. In 2016 alone, we had the opportunity of reaching a soul on average every 11 minutes around the clock throughout the entire year. We're grateful for the volunteers and churches and missionaries that God has put together at the Rock of Ages Ministries.
Right, forgive us, that's the only DVD we presently have. It's 5 years old now, so the ministry, as you saw, has grown a little bit larger than what you've seen. There's several more buildings on the property. This past week, Brother Castle and I were in Montgomery, Alabama, with about 65 volunteers and missionaries that had came along. First time in 2 years, we've been able to walk back into the institutions there in Alabama. Last year, we preached through the fences, but this year, we were able to go on visitation. Absolutely amazing. As I sat down with a young man across the table in the barracks there in the cell blocks, and I was looking at him, and he's probably 30 years old. And I said, Cedric, I said, you mean to tell me of all the people that passed through the institution, I had forgotten it had been 2 years since COVID and anyone in there. And I said, no one has ever taken a Bible ever and shown you how to be saved. No one's ever told you about Christ. He said, no. And then it dawned on me, he'd only been in the system 2 years. And he grew up in an America that he knew nothing about Christ. And the more I began to speak with him, you could tell conviction falling on his heart. And I said, can I take my Bible and show you, Cedric? And Cedric was gloriously born into the family of God. Amen. That's what we do. As you see there, Dr. Ellis and myself, he is the president, I'm the vice president of the Rock of Ages. I say this often to churches. Every dime given to our office and given through the printing operations and so forth goes directly into the ministry. Brother Ellis and myself receive no salary, no expense account. We're missionaries, just like all our missionaries are. We just believe if you're going to lead missionaries, you ought to be one of them. And so we believe in that God's people give. It goes directly, and as much as possibly we get it in the needs of Bibles and material into the hands of the prisoners around the globe. I've been privileged to serve in the as the foreign director for the ministry. I began the foreign work, Brother Bobby Sizemore and myself did, in the country of Romania in 1991. They asked me to be the director of the wonderful days back then because I only directed me. I was the only guy. But then, before I knew it, my feet have set down in 42 countries. And God has allowed us to establish ministries on six continents. It's absolutely amazing what God has done. Now, that was a 40 year. We're entering our 45th year. Do pray for our ministry. Would you do that? Pray for, if you would, I'll not mention their name because of the situation. We were able to get our family, our Ukrainian family. We got the wife and the children into Romania and out of the country. The husband was not allowed to leave. And so we've got her down and in safety, and do pray for the family. I'll not call their name tonight. Acts chapter 6, real quick, okay? Now, I'll do two things. One is I'll preach fast if you listen fast. Secondly is I'll not preach any longer than the message lasts. I'm just a country boy, but I've been in some services. Even the Holy Ghost went out for a hamburger, and the preacher just kept going on. And so I promise you I won't do that. Acts chapter 6, and I just want you to see something and tonight, and I want to honor my time that's remaining. Acts chapter 6, in verse number 1, "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, verse 3, the apostles are saying, Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you. Otherwise, who do you think is qualified? Who do you think some of the better of the needs here? He said, And find you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, if we ask the church tonight, pick you out seven people. Let's just say people, okay? And how many, don't raise your hand or anything. I wonder how many of us could honestly say, I believe that person's full of the Holy Ghost. I believe that person's full of the Holy Ghost. When many of church members today and even preachers don't even recognize anymore what being full of the Holy Ghost is. And that's a message in itself. But if we were doing that, because I want to bring attention to Philip tonight, and I want you to notice he was chosen by the people. The people said, of the seven people, Philip is one of those men that is full of the Holy Ghost, and he's of honest report. Now look, if you would, in verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip. And again, I want to talk about this man Philip for just a few moments tonight. Go, if you would, to Acts chapter number 8 now. Acts chapter number 8. And we know in the first few verses we see the introduction of this man by the name of Saul, and how that Stephen has been stoned and Saul's consenting unto his death. And I want you to remember that as we go a little bit further along. And then we drop down after the stoning of Philip. Now remember, seven have been chosen. And many believe that there might have been a kinship between Stephen and Paul. Some of your old writers and your theologians believe there's a possibility they might have been distant cousins. Very possible. And so here Philip is, he's continuing on in the ministry, and it's possible that maybe even one of his relatives, definitely one of his companions, has just been stoned to death for the cause of Christ. And Philip is going on. Now notice, if you would, in chapter 8, I'm in an introduction, so like I said, we're going to preach fast, all right? And in verse number 5, then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So Philip, I mean, he's not like me. I'm just a country boy from North Florida. Anybody know where Century, Florida is? Okay, preacher. Not many do. Century, Florida is 40 miles north of Pensacola. You cannot get any further northwest in Florida but Century. And my wife and I, we've been together since high school, and where she lived, if you walked out her back door, you walked into Alabama. You walked out her front door, you walked into Florida. If you parked your cars in the backyard, you could tag your vehicles in Alabama. If you parked them in the front yard, you had to tag them in Florida. In those days, you parked in the backyard because Alabama didn't require automobile insurance. Just the way it was for country folk. Now here's Philip. He's in the city of Samaria, and he's preaching, and honestly, being an old country boy, we'd have got us up a crowd and went hunting Paul. But he just stayed faithful, didn't he? Now notice, he's going down, and you're about to see him go down to the Ethiopian eunuch. Look in verse number 26. He's preached down in Samaria, and that's where he's at. In verse 25, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, he returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now I thought of this. Here Philip is. He's been in Jerusalem, and the Holy Ghost has swept through there, and revival's going on, and people are being saved, and who wants to leave that place? I mean, here you are. You're in the middle of revival. God's moving. The Holy Ghost is doing his job and blowing through that place. And to the Jewish mind, Jerusalem is where you want to be. It's the place where you want to be. And that's where the church is being birthed. And Philip's in the middle of revival. But God said, you got to leave that place. I want you to go. I'm going to send you away from where you more than likely want to remain. You want to stay there. You want to stay where God's doing great things. But God said, no, I got something for you to do. I want you to leave this place. So he leaves a desired place, and he goes down to Samaria. And the Samaritans are half-breeds. They're different. And so I put down in my thoughts that now Philip goes from the place where he loves, and it's his home church, and he desires this place. But then he has to go to a place where they're different than he is. They're different. I was in Greenville, Alabama one time, and I pulled up in there, and you just have to understand, I'm just a South Alabama boy in North Florida, and I'm in there, and this lady, she's behind the counter at the deli in Walmart. And this Amish group came in. Now, they didn't have horse and buggy. They was on a Greyhound. But they had the right hats and everything, and they're walking around there in all that garb. And I walk in there to get me some bologna, glory. And I was standing there, and that lady was from behind the counter, and that big group of Amish people walked down through the Walmart, and I'm looking over here like that, and she looks over at me, and she said, they ain't from around here, you know that, don't you? I said, yes, ma'am, I've been up in that country, I understand. And she had never seen anybody. They were different. They were not like her. It was a different scenario. And so all of a sudden she was shocked because they were a little bit different. Can I tell you, sometimes we sit in our comfort zone and we don't move. I won't ever get in this message, but I'm having a good time. And I think sometimes we just like right where our pew is and right where we are, and the world is crying out for the gospel of Christ. How dare you go to that prison house? How dare you go to them, those wretched old sinners? But can I tell you, oh yes, it's a different place.
Amen.
That's for sure. Maybe God might say, hey, look, you've sat there long enough and in your desired place, and it's time to go now. I know it'll be a different place. It's not where you're from. Come on, Brother Danny. You're not from around here, right? I mean, I know his Brother Peter and I worked together for so many years, and it's different, isn't it? You just have to understand me. I'm a country boy. Okay, don't get mad at me. My dad was military, so I was born in Fort Riley, Kansas. Dad moved back to the area where he's from. Jay, Florida is actually up in that area in Century. And so when I was 12 and a half, we moved back there, and I grew up on that farm. And after that, but Dad was military. So being military, I grew up 12 and a half years on a military base. So honestly, there is not one ounce of prejudice or racism in me. There's not. It's just not in me. I was always raised to see everybody equally. That's just the way I was raised. And then I got out in North Florida, and Brother Danny, stay with me. And it didn't take me long that I didn't like Yankees. I'm sorry, Marilyn. But stay with me, preacher. Stay with me. So I'd always say, all them Yankees. And my son, oldest son goes off to Bible college. And he brings back his little blonde-haired, green-eyed girl. He says, Daddy, I'm going to marry her. I said, okay. Where's she from? He said, Boston. She's the sweetest girl on this planet. Just had supper with him the other night after close to 20 years. And I said, son, give me something. Give me something bad about her, anything. He said, Dad, there is nothing. Her mother was with us. I said, you got anything on faith as a little girl? No, she was perfect. I said, really? My dad beat me he whipped me one day and told me, said, I said, what are you whipping me for? He said, just for what you're going to do tomorrow. Just get it out of the way. And my daughter marries a guy from northern Pennsylvania. My youngest son's my favorite. She grew up right there, South Alabama. Glory. Do you know what I learned over the years? That we're all different, aren't we? And sometimes God will put you in a different place and use you the greatest in that place. This is really just the introduction, but I'm going to quit in the introduction. Thirdly, I want you to watch something. He then went from his desired place, this place of revival in Jerusalem, and down to the Samaritans. And they were just different than him, but it didn't hinder him. It didn't change him. He was in the will of God, and he preached to the Samaritans, and many were saved there. And then in verse 25, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Now, even when it becomes different, when you're in the will of God and you're seeing God use your life and others being saved, you start saying, this is where God's called me. This is my people. This is where God's called me. And right in the middle of that, we see in verse 25, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He's gone from revival in a desired place down to a place different. That's not where he was from. The people were different, to a dry place. Well, I wrote down in my Bible, this is where you start seeing who's faithful. You know, when things are not quite the way they were and the new wears off and you've been there for a little while and it's not the honeymoon anymore. You just got to stay faithful. You stay faithful when you're up. You stay faithful when you're down. Stay faithful when God's moving. You stay faithful when God's silent. It's faithful. Sometimes you feel, Lord, I just feel like I'm so dry and I need something from you. But you're at your greatest when you're faithful in the desert times. It was a dry place. But there was a man waiting there, an Ethiopian eunuch. It was during that dry time God had the one. And sometimes God leaves you in the desired place where great revival and a great movement of God is happening, but sometimes he'll send you to a place that is just different. But he'll use you in that different place. And sometimes it just appears. I got a dear friend that's been a missionary now close to 30 years in Poland. He's seen two saved. Tough. Dry. I remember the first time I went to India and was to preach in a church, and they broke out in song. And unless you've ever been in one of those song services, I thought, oh God, I'm going to die right here in this service. It was so different and strange and no melody. And I'm a 70s boy. At least give me a little bit of rhythm or something here. It was bad. And I thought, man, if I had to be a missionary here, I believe I would die. And then the Holy Ghost reminded me, yeah, huh? But in this dry place is where I need you here. I want you to notice now in verse number 40. I'm going to give you a title of what the message should have been. Okay. But I'll give you the fourth part of the introduction of the message in verse 40. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. I put down in my Bible, he's found in a destitute place. You see, Azotus is the Old Testament place of Ashdod. It's where the Philippines took the Ark of God there. It's where Dagon, the fertility god, was. It's just a destitute of God, a God-denying, God-despising place. God had taken him because you know what God needed the preacher? He needed him in the revival. Yeah. He needed him to go down to them folks that nobody else would go to because they're different. He needed him to go down to that dry place. Why, it's not a camp meeting. It's not a shouting service. It's a place down there, but they still need him. They still need the Lord. And even in those places that we say, burn it to the ground, God's saying, give them one more chance. Hey, Jonah, have you discerned, Jonah? Of all those little ones you're talking about, man, you want me to burn this city down? Have you thought about them, Jonah? See, sometimes God will just say, look, I know nobody else wants to go there. I know it's a place when others just don't want to go, but maybe I want you there. And if they be found in that place of destitute, and my message would have been, had I gone there, can you be found? Can you be found where the Savior can use you? Can you be found where the saints can depend on you? Can you be found where the sinner is waiting for you? Acts 21, and we'll close. Acts 21. Now notice he was down in this destitute place. He had gone in that dry place. And in every place he went, souls were saved. No matter what the circumstances, the situation, the state he was in, God used him. I have been a very, very blessed and privileged man in this ministry. I've been privileged to literally stand before several thousand and see as many as 300 walk an aisle to be saved. I praise the Lord for that. And I've also stood and preached to two, and one gets saved while those two sat there. I'll be honest with you, I have preached and preached and preached and felt like, God, why in the world would you ever call me? Nothing's moving. I feel empty. I have no touch from you. It's so dry. Oh, God, would you please? And then just about the time I said it's not worth it anymore, someone would come up and say, preacher, I've waited long enough. Can you help me? Now let me close. Acts chapter 21. 18 years have passed since Philip left and his companion or possible kin, Stephen, had been stoned under the consent of the Apostle Paul, Saul at that time. Now 18 years later in Caesarea, in verse number 8, and the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. 18 years later, we see the old preacher. He's still faithful. He could have hated Paul, despised Paul, but he still had the mission in mind, and so he took a missionary group in. The very one that consented to the death of his companion or possible relative. In 18 years, he still called the evangelist. That means he hadn't quit preaching yet. He's still preaching. And watch this. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophecy. You know, he's just a faithful man of God. His kids turned out okay. They prophesied, so that means they're in the ministry. And he's just faithful. And he never got bitter at Paul, it appears. He just stayed faithful in the desired place. He stayed faithful in the different place. He stayed faithful in the dry place. He stayed faithful in the destitute place. He could be found where Christ could use him. My invitation thought tonight is this. Can we be found? And no matter what state we're in, look around how many sat here pre-COVID. It got dry, didn't it? It got dry. And we can't find many now in the dry place. And it's going to get destitute. Look at our world. Can we be found faithful? Would you stand tonight with me? Pastor, could you take over then?
Stand to your feet as the musicians come. God spoke to your heart. Why don't you step out and come? Before the music plays, just step out and come. If you want to come and pray for Restore-a-thon, why don't you come? If you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can find Christ tonight. If you'll come and step out and walk an old-fashioned aisle, we'll take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. I'm going to grab the microphone and I'll step to the front. If you need to be saved, if you need to join, if you need to do something tonight that God has spoken to you about, why don't you step out and come as Brother Bert sings.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Would you bow your heads tonight with me and just be in an attitude of prayer as we have sung the song and I have decided to follow Jesus, you know. Are you still found in the same place that you told God that you'd follow him in? You still find yourself in the place of God's will that you decided to set out on a long time ago? Philip, God kept moving and moving and moving him to different places, but he always found himself in God's will because he was full of the Holy Spirit. You may find yourself in a dry place tonight, a place where it's been a long time since a still small voice spoke to you. He might be speaking to you tonight. Why don't you step out and come? If you're here and you don't know Christ as Savior, I'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you'd be on your way to heaven if you died this evening. As Brother Bert sings and the heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you step out and come as Brother Bert sings.
The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Amen. was good for us tonight. Amen. Now, I know we had the prayer chain and we prayed around the clock, but we could always use some more prayer. Amen. I ask you tonight, before you close your eyes and put yourself to bed, amen, and hopefully there won't be any snoring wherever you are, but I'll ask you to ask God to really show up and give us a revival like we've never had before. He always does in our Restore-a-thon, but I'd love for God to just be all over it and to use it to just, again, give us another year of being on the radio and preaching the gospel around the world, both on the internet and here in Central Florida. It's a great tool that God has given us, and you'll hear more about the Rock of Ages. They have a table set up down at the radio station. I'd love for you to stop by and see that and get some of their material. These men will be up here if you want to speak to them. If God spoke to your heart about prison ministry, these men would love to talk to you. Amen. And so before we close in prayer tonight, let me remind you that everyone that's going to be a DJ that'll be on the air tonight, I'd like to meet with you just in a couple minutes here right after the service up in the Victory Room. We just need to go over some things to make sure that we're ready for tomorrow morning. And again, let me invite you to come down and be at the radio station at 6:30 bright and early in the morning before we get on the air and we start. If you're able to come, we'd love to pray with you and all of us meet together and get this thing kicked off. But again, thank you so much tonight. Thank you, Brother Dunsford, for the message of blessing, my brother. Let's pray together. Dear God, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we do beg you and beseech your throne again for just your power, God. As we go on the air tomorrow morning and start our Restore-a-thon, God, we beg you to be in the midst of us, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to just be faithful to you and to do exactly and follow your leading in every step, God. And I pray that you would provide from your heavenly riches through your people, God, that you just reply again and restore the budget of our radio station. We thank you. It's your radio station, Lord. And we just want to do everything that we can, God, to just keep it on the air and do everything that we can to see souls saved. So as we go our separate ways, God, I pray that you give safety to our people. I pray, God, that you just be with those that have lost loved ones, Lord, that we'll have funerals for this week. I pray you'd give comfort and help in this time of need. But I also pray, God, you give us great revival on our radio. We thank you for all that you'll do, all that you have done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.